from the Art Center in downtown Carrboro, this is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater, a program that has fascinating guests, lively talk and conversation, community news, storytelling, and a look at our local entertainment scene. Good radio and always a few surprises. Now here's Claudio.
Good morning, folks, and thank you for tuning us in once again. This is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater coming at you, and the interesting soul we have calling in this morning in about 5 minutes will be international teen pop sensation, the one and only Gabby Ray. We're going to be discussing the anti-bullying campaign that's going on, both nationally and I think also internationally, as well as her career and her marvelous success at so young an age. And between now and then, because we're having a few telephone line difficulties, I think we're going to play some music until she calls in. That way I can hear the phone ring in the other room, because the one in the studio here, for some reason, isn't working. We have Monty Python moments happening to us here, so stay tuned.
Thank you. my friend, have connections in the government. Yes, you. USA.gov, the official source for government information on thousands of topics. And like any good connection, there's no telling where it can take you. Why, one day you're getting student loan information. Next thing you know, you need job hunting tips. Today's road construction info could have you searching for telecommuting ideas tomorrow. The more you use USA.gov, the more uses you'll find for it. Passport applications, for example. They've been known to lead to a sudden interest in travel advisories. Our new mobile apps will even update you on the go. So whether you have information to get or ideas to give your government, check out USA.gov. Who knows? Lottery results today could lead to retirement planning tomorrow. USA.gov. With the right connections, there's no telling where you can go.
Your time is important. That's why we thank you for taking us along. We're WCOM Community Radio. You're listening to Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater. From the Arts Center in downtown Carrboro, this is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater, heard at 103.5, Community Radio, WCOM. Now here's Claudio.
And ladies and gentlemen, now we have the one and only Gabby Ray, who's just called in, and I don't know if I want to stop doing my chair dancing to this music, but I guess I better slow down and talk to Gabby. Good morning, Gabby.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Good to hear your voice.
Aw, thank you. I'm really excited about this interview.
Where are you calling from? Atlanta, or are you elsewhere?
Yes, I'm actually calling from Atlanta.
So we're in the same time zone. Okay.
Yes.
I wonder about that because most other people that call in here are from 3 or 4 hours away. So.
Yeah. I'm not in LA this time. I'm back in Atlanta.
Good. So I know we're going to get into the anti-bullying thing eventually, but what I want to do is sort of start out the conversation with a little background on you for audiences that aren't as aware of you as they should be. And then what we'll do is have you pick a selection of music. I've got the CD that you mailed me. Thank you, by the way. I hope you got my stuff.
Yes, I did.
Good. And then during the conversation, I'm just going to ask you to recommend a song of yours that we play, and then we'll play it and just stay online, and afterwards we'll come back. But in the meantime, give us cue us in on your amazing career.
Yeah, it's actually a long story, but I'll try to put it into the smallest awesome words ever.
No pressure. Take your time.
I actually started like really, really young. I was just a little baby. I had two throat surgeries because I couldn't eat and breathe at the same time. So it kind of started off as a kind of a miracle in a way. So I started off really, really young. I would sing to all the Broadway musicals like Les Miserables, Phantom of the Opera.
At what age?
All my favorites.
You say really, really young. Cue us in. What age?
Probably 3.
Wow.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I just knew what I wanted to do right away.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of, I'm lucky that I was able to start young because now I get to learn, and as I get older, I know more about what I'm doing.
Exactly.
So once I got a little older, probably around 6, I started with the whole competition thing. And that went really well for me, but there was when I was about 7, I was like, okay, well, I want to do more than this, than just competitions. So I actually performed for my first time in Providence, Rhode Island at J.R.'s Fastlane, and it was a really big nightclub, and I remember the first time I went in there, I wasn't nervous. I was just like, wow, what did I getting myself into? So when I went on stage, everything just changed. I was like, okay, yeah, you know what? This is what I'm meant to do with my life.
So you got an immediate feel for it?
Yeah, it was just right away. And I remember my parents telling me, I don't even remember me telling them this because I was so, like, pumped up. But they're like, oh, yeah, when you came off stage, you were like, what, can I do this again? So I was like, yeah, well, it was pretty fun.
I've got the bug. Let me out there.
Yes, let me go.
Well, it's certainly from footage that I've seen of you, you definitely have a natural presence on stage. It's not like you've come there to show anything off. You're just up there doing your thing, and that's what works best in showbiz.
Well, thank you. And people ask me, you know, why don't you get so nervous? And I'm just like, I don't know. I guess I just, since I started so young, I've kind of gotten used to it.
You know, the one thing that I've found, pardon my interruption, as far as nervous tension goes, since I do stage productions of my own, is I don't even let myself think about being nervous until I'm in front of the audience, and then it's too late.
Yeah. But it's a lot of fun being up on stage, and I've got some really amazing fans, and they're all very supportive, so.
No, so what would you, how would you call your particular style of music, your particular bent?
Pop rock.
That's more or less what I was thinking. Anyone you could compare it to for anyone trying to identify?
You know, I don't know. I mean, I kind of, when people ask me that question, I'm like, I don't really like to compare myself to other people because I like to be as original as possible.
Yes, absolutely, and I do believe that you are. I didn't know if there was an influence possibly that won't necessarily pigeonhole you into the same category, but give people some idea of, you know, more or less what, because you certainly are totally original.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I mean, I do have influences, that's for sure. I love Pink.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Avril Lavigne.
Uh-huh.
All the newer artists like Katy Perry. And then there's all those older artists, and those artists that maybe aren't so big, but they still have a big impact on me. Sister Otis. I don't know if you've heard of her, but I actually met her in Myrtle Beach.
I have heard of her. I'm not familiar with her particular musical style, though.
Yes, she's kind of like, she's very bluesy.
Oh, right. I'd love that.
She writes a lot of her songs. And so she was one of those influences on me where she kind of got me into the whole songwriting thing. So once I saw her, I'm like, you know what? I can do this. And so she was kind of my songwriting first inspiration, you know?
Fantastic.
Kind of got me out of my shell with songwriting. And then, of course, there is Eva Cassidy, which I'm also not sure if you heard of her. She died very young. But what she did was she took other people's songs and she made them her own. Mm-hmm. And she was also very bluesy herself. She had a lot of soul. And that was really amazing. And I love listening to her music. And I love having her as an influence on me.
Well, on that...
Yeah, I've got a lot of influences. I've got Aretha Franklin. I could just go down the entire list.
Well, that certainly gives us an idea of, you know, influences certainly suggest where your caliber of art comes from. It doesn't necessarily define, you know, what you're automatically going to sound like, but to the person out there listening, they can tell whether or not they appreciate the genre to begin with, and mm-hmm. I can't think of too many people that don't appreciate anything blues-oriented, because that's the roots of most of our music. When it gets right down to it. Why don't you select a song of yours, so we'll take it right from this interview, to letting folks hear what you sound like, and then you and I will continue the interview. Tell me what number you'd like me to play on that CD. Yeah,
what
put you on the spot,
would
didn't
I? Like to play on the CD? I'm not sure what number it is, but I know Don't Look Down is on the CD.
Hold on.
And that's actually the cover I did for my anti-bullying campaign of David Ryan Harris.
I think that's number 3. So give us a second, stay online, we're going to play your tune, and then I'll come back on and talk to you some more.
Okay.
Great having you on.
Down. Oh. You're tuned to 103.5 FM, WCOM-LP, Chapel Hill, Carrboro. Están escuchando a 103. FM, WCOM-LP, Chapel Hill, Carrboro. Thanks for listening to our station.
FM Community Radio, this is WCOM, located here in downtown Carrboro at the Art Center. We are now the most innovative and diverse radio station in the Triangle area. Thank you so much for listening this morning. Now back to Claudio.
Gabby, that was awesome. I'm sure you're going to pick up a lot of new fans in this area. You've definitely got me as a fan, kid.
Oh, thank you.
That's what a voice, man.
Thank you.
Absolutely marvelous. So what inspired that piece? I realized that you didn't write that one. It was actually, I guess it was, it a collaboration or was it simply written by David Ryan Harris?
Yes. David Ryan Harris is the original writer, singer, producer. And when we kind of redid it, we changed a few of the lyrics to make sure it matched completely with what I was going for.
Mm-hmm.
So, because David Ryan Harris's version is actually him talking to his son.
Interesting.
So we changed just a few of the lyrics so I can be talking about the anti-bullying thing, and it really worked out perfectly. And it was actually reproduced by Blake Eisman, and Pen Game wrote it. She's an amazing writer. And, of course, I sang it.
Yes, of course. Since we've just had the segue of the anti-bullying, let's go in that direction a little bit, because that's something both you and I feel very strongly about. I had a lifetime of growing up with it in apartheid South Africa, so it's no surprise to me. We pretty much had to learn how to fight to survive because bullies were everywhere back in those days. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about white bullies, not black bullies. So there was some amazing. I had a really fascinating experience in one particular time in school. I got so tired of getting my butt kicked from bullies on the way home to school or even in school. It was pretty incessant in most cases. There were even gangs. So I learned how to box because somebody needed to teach me what to do with my own body so I could fight back instead of just getting my butt kicked. And I remember this one particular day after I'd taken boxing for quite some time, I saw the school's biggest bully. He was almost twice my size. I was a skinny kid. Picking on this guy, had the guy on the floor and was still slamming into him, smacking him around, and the guy on the floor was already in tears. And I just decided to pull my nerve together, tapped him on the shoulder, and looked at him and said, why don't you pick on me? I remember the coach that taught me how to box telling me that I had a great right hook. If I ever learned how to land it, it would be a knockout punch. He said, the trick is learning how to be effective with it. Well, I tapped him on the shoulder. He turned around and looked at me. And I just took my nerve. I didn't know if I was going to have to run afterwards or stay and fight. I just had gathered all my nerve and punched him solid in the face. And he stumbled back over the kid that he was abusing, got up and went, "What did you do that for?" So made this bully melt right in front of me, and the whole school was practically looking on with their jaws dropped. So a lot of these bully types, and I think you and I have discussed this before, are kids that have a very strange home life, and I think the parents need to be pulled in and made a little more responsible. Mm-hmm. Anyway,
yeah.
Sorry, that was my soapbox.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing.
The what?
I said thank you for sharing.
My pleasure. Sorry, I didn't hear that first.
My whole anti-bullying campaign, like, there are a lot of anti-bullying campaigns around right now because it's such a big topic. So I kind of wanted to give my anti-bullying campaign a special place. And so, yes, my whole anti-bullying campaign is for everybody in general, but it kind of, it's for special needs children.
I see. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Explain that.
I mean, I was bullied myself for many reasons. One, because I was a singer. And another reason is because I saw that these bullies would pick on, I had friends who were special needs, and I saw that these people were picking on my friends. And it didn't fly with me. I'm like, no, this isn't going to work. So I would stand up to the bullies. Like, I wouldn't take boxing lessons, and I wouldn't fight them back, but I would definitely say something. And once I said something, then all of the attention was directed on me.
Mm-hmm.
So I was bullied for those two main reasons. And, of course, there are just the kids that pick on you in general. And so when I finally, you know, started to, you know, become a little bit higher in the industry, I was like, okay, you know what? This is my chance. So I had the resources I needed. I have amazing fans who are willing to help me get that message across. And so I'm like, this could work. So we started the whole anti-bullying thing, and it's really been amazing. And what's also just great is I'm actually working with Free to Love now, which is also an anti-bullying organization. And they are just amazing. They have been awesome. And I think that with them, they're trying to do everything they can to end bullying, which is exactly what I'm doing. So mm-hmm. We're really a perfect fit.
Fantastic.
So, yeah. And so I think what we got going is really cool because here's a little surprise. Free to Love is actually turning one real soon. And I know that we're doing a really big fundraiser to launch the Friends Don't Let Friends Bully program. And we're trying to really get it nationwide. And, I mean, me, along with Free to Love, we just want to inspire kids to be kinder. And we think that when they have the information and they have the tools, I think they can and I think they will make a difference.
No doubt.
There are kids like me and some other anti-bullying advocates that I know that actually want to do something, and I think they will. And I think if we can all just spread the word, it's going to do something.
Of course, in this area, you're connected with Sarah Stiegler, who is the Executive Director of Peaceful Schools North Carolina Psychoanalytic Foundation. And I let me go ahead and read something she sent me that I promised I'd make part of the show. Just a few highlights of the International Forum on National Bullying Prevention Month Observance. Educators to discuss strategies that minimize bullying in schools. Raleigh, NC, each school day, 160,000 children in the United States stay at home for fear of being bullied, according to the National Association of School Psychologists. But the fear is not confined to the bullying target. Bullying creates an atmosphere of intimidation throughout the entire school. It affects the students' ability to learn, and it is an international problem. On October 27th, a panel of educators from Jamaica, Hungary, Australia, and the United States will explain how they are reducing aggression, teasing, and bullying in the schools. A quick statement here. If the total social climate of the school is not addressed, this is a quote, including not only children but also all others working in the school, then any programs to reduce violence in schools will fail. The intent of this scenario is to create a school climate that is safe and conducive to learning. All students learn physical, mental, and emotional techniques for channeling aggressive impulses as well as for self-protection. They learn effective coping skills and how to resolve conflict in non-physical ways. There's, of course, the Create a Peaceful School Learning Environment, which is known as CAPSUL. And then, of course, for more information, contact Sarah Stiegler, MSED, Executive Director, Peaceful Schools, North Carolina. Psychoanalytic Foundation, and the phone number, fax number there is 919-847-2323, and you can also go to email ssstiegler@ncpsychoanalysis.org. That's sstiegler at ncpsychoanalysis.org. And that's a little scoop from what's going on there. I don't want to take the time to read all of this, but that could certainly sate some curiosities by people contacting.
Yeah, and Miss Sarah is just amazing. And that was actually a really pretty cool event, and it took place all week. It was last year. I think it was actually in October. So mm-hmm. it was a year ago. And it was a full week, and it was called Back Off Bully. And
I remember that.
At the very end of the week, there's this big concert at the Cocoa Booth Amphitheater.
Yes, that's the one I missed. Yes, I remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you missed it.
And I actually had I had Sarah on the radio with me live. She was a fun person to meet.
Oh, yeah. I think I remember that, yeah.
Matter of fact, she was one of the people that insisted I get to know you. So
yeah.
She was the reason you and I have met.
She's so nice.
She's a cool person.
Yeah. And I think it was probably like one of the best road trips that I've taken because I got to visit all these different schools, and I've never been to, you know, any really unique schools like these. Like when I used to go to school, it would be straight buildings with, you know, your schedules and ugh. And then you go and then
rather clinical.
To unique schools.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I've like you get you can there's this extra building where you can go and just hang with all your friends and I mean experiencing these things is just really amazing. And the kids were awesome. And I got to talk to the kids about my campaign, and I got to sing Don't Look Down for some of the schools. And I remember one school I went to, we actually had a Hannah Montana sing-along. That was pretty awesome.
I'll bet.
Yep, eating pizza and singing Hannah Montana. You cannot go wrong there. And so that was really fun. And then, of course, the concert at the end of the week was amazing. I was... That was actually a really... I was sick with a really bad cold that entire week.
Oh, no.
And so after I would go and speak to the school, you know, I'd have to rest my voice for the concert. And I remember waking up the morning of the concert, and I didn't have a... I couldn't talk.
Ooh.
And so there was a nice little dressing room at the amphitheater, and I stayed in there for, I don't know, like 5 hours.
Oh, my God.
And I slept, and I... tea after tea.
I was going to say hot tea with honey and lemon, right?
No lemon.
No lemon, okay.
No, because lemon, it aggravates some voice.
I can see that, yeah.
But I put some honey in my tea.
Good.
And I was lucky enough to have enough voice for me to go out there and sing. I remember I had to cut some little things out of my show, but it worked out.
It's amazing.
I was really glad that we were all able to go through with it.
It's amazing, and then the average public never knows this. It's amazing what the performers and the talent on stage have to put into a show to make it look like the effort to be effortless.
Yeah, we worked really hard because we're like, okay, how are we going to figure this out? And I remember my producer Blake and my dad, we actually went in one of the hotel rooms at the hotel, and we're like, okay, what are we going to do to fix this?
Mm.
So we went through every single song and worked out the little problems that I could not do with a cold.
Anything that would have taken additional vocal range or something along those lines, yeah.
Yeah, anything that would have given me laryngitis on stage.
Right.
Which is the worst possible time to get laryngitis.
No doubt.
So we figured it out, and it worked out really well. And everybody that was involved with the event was really supportive because I felt really bad. I'm like, I want this to be so perfect. And like, oh, it's amazing. Just I'm like, thank you. So that was a really nice event.
Well, on that note, with that scenario beautifully described, why don't we go to another one of your tunes?
Awesome.
Pick one. Neverland, Turn It Up, or Red Hot Blues?
Let's play Turn It Up.
Turn It Up, which is the second one, Rocco?
Yes.
Okay, hang out online and I'll get back to you.
Awesome.
Only 12, yeah, my driver did well on the Autobahn. I
Now there's one radio station for the news you need and the music you love and the programs you enjoy. 103.5 FM Community Radio for Chapel Hill and Carrboro, WCOM. Now back to Claudio.
And this is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater with the one and only Gabby Ray. Turning it up!
Yes!
So Gabby!
Turning it up!
Hey, there were some points I forgot to get into with you, so please, anything that you still want to throw down on the anti-bullying or whatever it is you just mentioned to me here shortly ago on the phone, go ahead and spill it.
Yeah, I just wanted to put out a few things about Free to Love. We've got this is how cool Free to Love is. They're actually doing this little thing for the radio, and if all the listeners go to Free to Love's Twitter, follow them at free_2_LUV and say love is stronger than hate, they will pick 3 lucky winners to receive a Friends Don't Let Friends Bully wristband.
Fantastic. Give us your contact info as well in case folks are interested in exploring more about you, your website, or whatever you want to give out.
Yes, you can check me out at www.gabbyray.com.
That's R-A-E for Gabby Ray.
Yeah, once you go there, you'll have all of my Twitter information, all my Facebook information. But if you want my Twitter right now, I can give it to you. It's,
go ahead.
Of course, twitter.com/GabbyRayRocks, GABBIERAE rocks.
And she rocks indeed, and that's GABBIERAE for Gabby Ray. So good. Okay, so have we covered the bullying thing?
Yes. There's a few bullying statistics that I have in front of me that I wanted to kind of share with
you. Absolutely, that's why we're here.
Okay. Here's one. 20% of high school students say they have seriously considered suicide within the last 12 months. Yeah, and that's really, awful, and which is why we're trying to get this message across so fast and with such power.
And even the president is in support of us, just in case people don't know.
Yeah, and I mean, I feel like if we get that information out there and tell these kids that you're not alone, they'll get it. And I think the bullies will get, okay, well, we're being bullied by the anti-bullying campaigns.
Yes.
So we should probably stop now.
That's the right kind of bullying.
Yeah, we're the right kind of bullies.
I think Rocco had something.
Fighting against hate.
My co-host Rocco had something I think would be very valuable to include. Rocco.
Gabby, this is Rocco, and I'm Claudio's engineer and co-host on the show, and I spent a number of years in the public schools, and I'd like to bring up the issue of parenting, in that good parenting takes away the bully equation, so to speak, and so much of everything with children begins at home. And good parents teach their children to not bully and to be respectful. And that is something that a lot of people really miss, I think. You know, they blame the schools, they blame the teachers, they blame everybody else. But parenting, the mother and father, the parents of the child, are so the most influential.
I think it's absolutely key, yeah.
The way a child is brought up and how they behave at school.
It's quite common, I think, to discover when you see a violent child that there's violence at home on some level, whether emotional or physical.
Yeah, and I mean, I've witnessed that when I used to go to public school. There'd be kids, and you know, for a while they'd be really bullying me, and I'd be like, "What is your problem?" And I'd be like, "Why me? Why somebody that you don't even know? Like, why are you just taking out all of your anger on what's going on?" And, you know, some of the bullies would actually say, "I'm sorry, but, you know, this might be going on or this may be going on." And, I mean, some of it might be the parenting, but I also think that maybe some other issues are going on.
Oh, there's more
and
to it than that, no doubt.
There's a reason for everything that they do.
I have no idea what that sound is. Excuse us for a minute. Let's check out something. Here we go, Gabby. I think it's gone. I'm not sure what that was.
Oops. Yeah, I didn't hear it. I was like, oh, my gosh.
Hold on one second. Let me go check something.
Look around you. 1 in 4 kids in the U.S. faces hunger. It's not always easy to see the signs, But in this land of plenty, there are kids who don't know where they'll get their next meal. Join Share Our Strength and take the pledge to end childhood hunger here in America by 2015. Learn how at nokidhungry.org. Their next meal could come from you.
Gabby, sorry about that. I have no idea what that strange sound was. There's a construction situation happening right next to where we are. And who knows, maybe they tapped the line.
That's fine. But, so I don't know if you got what I was saying. But
no,
I
go ahead and say it again.
I think parenting might have a few ways of interfering with that kind of thing. I think there's a reason for everything. So it might not just be the parenting.
Oh, no. Peer pressure, just frustrations in general.
Yeah,
there's a
number of factors.
Yes.
But and I've witnessed cases like that. I've seen it for myself. And, you know, I try my best to put it out there that you're not alone. And, you know, a lot of people are going through what you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe not take it out on each other. But I think that the bullies that I've experienced, some of them at least, when I'm like, why are you picking on me? Like, what did I ever do to you?
Yeah.
They're like, well, you know, this is going on.
You're just a good punching bag. That's it.
Yeah, and I'm like, well, maybe just talk about it. You don't have to yell.
Right. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I was going to say, where do you perform next? What's your current agenda?
Right now, I'm kind of, I don't have many shows booked right now. I'm just kind of planning moving to L.A.
Oh, goodness.
I've got a lot of things going on there. I don't know if you've seen, but I've worked in L.A. with a group called Counting Days.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been going good. And so I really kind of want to get back to L.A. because there are many opportunities out there for me.
I can imagine that being sort of the showbiz capital of the U.S.
Oh, yeah. And I said this to my friend who actually lives in L.A. And I'm like, I miss you and I miss L.A. because I feel like L.A. is where I'm supposed to be. Because almost everybody who lives there is like me.
Well, so the next call-in will be an even longer distance. This time you will be 4 hours away.
I'm not so sure I'm going to come on the air any time before 10 your time.
Right. I think you're there's definitely a 3 or 4 hour difference because I've had call-ins from California.
It's 4 hours.
I think it is, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, listen,
go ahead. I was just going to say I have a really cool connection. I'm not sure if you might not know her because she's a Disney star, but any kids who are listening out there, you might know this girl. Her name is Debbie Ryan, and I've had the amazing chance of working with her, and she's become a really cool friend.
And tell me who she is, since I don't know.
She's on Disney. She's on. She used to be on Suite Life on Deck. She was Bailey, and now she's got her own show called Jessie.
Ah.
Yes, so she's very big in the Disney world. She's also been on, I think it was Private Practice.
Okay.
And I think she was also on The Glades. So she's pretty big, and she's really amazing. You wouldn't even know she was a huge star if you met her, because she is just so sweet and down to earth.
Well, that's good to know. And how did you guys meet?
Cool story. One of my YouTube videos, Who You Are by Jessie J, I did a cover and I put it on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And one day I'm just sitting at the table at my dinner and my mom's on her computer on the couch and she's like, hey, who's this Debbie Ryan girl? She's got like a lot of followers and she retweeted your video. And I'm like, hold the phone. And of course, you know, I'm a big Debbie Ryan fan.
Right.
Before I even met her, I was like, oh my gosh. So when I found out, I'm like, she did not just tweet me. So I was really excited that she tweeted me. And the next day, her publicist actually emailed me. And she's like, hi, I saw your video and I thought it was really amazing. I'm like, no way. So it kind of went on from there. And a lot of Debbie's connections actually were able to help me get to LA for a week to go and meet a lot of people.
Fantastic.
And I met her on that week trip because I went to the set of her show, Jessie. She was really amazing. She had me sing for the studio audience. And she was just really down to earth. And once I went back to LA for 2 months, We actually made a cover video called Guilty as Charged, and that's on YouTube now.
Okay.
With her and her brother, Pitch Michael, and a few other friends. And so that was really cool because I was still, like, so in shock that she even wanted to meet me. And now she's like, hey, you come to my house to make a cover video? And I'm like, okay.
The beauty of the business,
yeah, sure.
Huh?
Sure. Why not?
Yeah, exactly. The beauty of the business is eventually you get to meet some of your peers.
Yeah, and she was really sweet. In fact, that night after we filmed the video, we actually went to go see the Hunger Games.
Ah, all right.
Yeah, it was just a big group of people who did the video, and we're standing in line because the power went out at the movie theater when we got there. So we're standing in line waiting for tickets. We're like, oh, you know what? The power went out. Sorry, you're just going to have to wait in line now. So we're waiting, and we actually started in the middle of a movie theater at jam. So her brother Chase, he's banging on the pretending he's got a drum set, and Debbie's like doing her rap thing, and I'm just singing, and everybody's looking at us in the movie theater. Like, yeah, we're kind of weird like that.
Interesting moment to pull.
Some people are like, hey, you're Debbie Ryan. She's like,
Well, I hope she's listening because she'd be feeling great right now.
Yeah, she's so busy, but it'd be amazing if she was listening.
Well, this will be podcast within a couple of days, so you'll be able to get anybody that wants to download this for free. All they got to do is come to the WCOM website or go to my website and go to the radio show link and do it that way. So within a day or two, this show will be podcast. Still there? Okay, I thought another funky thing was happening here. Well, listen, let's pick one more song because then we'll have a few more minutes to have you on and do a sign off. But we will, consider yourself part of the family at this point, and we will continue this saga with upcoming shows.
Awesome, thank you. And if you want to play Red Hot Blues,
right.
It's actually really cool. I have a YouTube video online because I'm originally from New England. So I'm a big Patriots fan.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yes, so on YouTube I have a video for this song with a bunch of Patriots footage.
Good. Well, let's hear the song.
Just get to this party, so I don't wanna go.
listening to Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater. I'd like to tell you that your host, Claudio, is available as a poet with a one-man band for house concerts, performing original and traditional literary readings. Claudio is well-known as a classical poet and a master storyteller. His website is claudioarts.com. Now back to Claudio.
Thank you, Rocco, and that was Red Hot Gabby Ray going at blues. Just want to mention that was great stuff. Just want to mention very quickly about next week's show. We're going to have the inimitable Peggy Taphorn coming on. She's a Broadway star. She is artistic director of Temple Theater in Sanford, singer, songwriter. I mean, the works, this lady is pretty amazing, and she's actually going to be here in person. So we're going to kick it with Peggy Taphorn. That's next Tuesday at 10 o'clock. And now back to you, Gabby.
Awesome. And I know we've only got a few minutes left, but I just wanted to say something about that song real quick.
Please.
That was a really important song for me because that was the first song that I actually co-wrote and co-produced with Blake Eisman and Diane Edwards, the real close friends of mine here in Atlanta. And it was really cool that I got to work with them on a song instead of just singing it in the booth. I got to have a say in what went on in the song. And I also had some really pretty cool guests come in on the song to make it really, really cool. In fact, of course, I had my dad come in, and he's an amazing drummer. So
right.
I had him come in and lay down a really cool drum track. And a friend of his, and like an uncle of mine, even though he's not really my uncle, Chris Vital from Fall River, Massachusetts, came in, and he flew all the way from Massachusetts here to Atlanta.
Impressive.
To lay down some guitar tracks.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, and so they were actually, they've been friends for like ever. They were in a band back before I was even born called Catch 22 in Massachusetts. Yeah, so they go way back, and it was really cool to have some of our old home roots come in the song.
No doubt, good support.
Mm-hmm.
One of these days I'm going to have to sneak in and get on one of your albums.
See? Do it.
That's great stuff. Coming up on closing time for us here, the next show is coming in. The next host, John Paul McClellan, is in the studio. So I'm going to try to make a graceful sign-off. Gabby, just like I said, consider yourself part of the family here, and let's stay in touch by email. And
awesome.
Thank you for being on. I'm sure everyone tuning in had a splendid time. And please
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Please give my regards to your mom and dad. And keep up the good work.
Awesome. Thank you.
Take care. Cheers. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning us in. This is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater. Rocco and myself here bidding you until next week. Take care.